Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean.
All right, glad you're with us. We start off with some scary news and bad images now. The Broward County Sheriff, at Broward Sheriff on Twitter, has, and we're seeing images now popping up on cable news, Fox News Channel, is working on a developing incident regarding a report of an active shooter. And this is at the Pine Island Road in Parkland. And what we know so far, deputies are there. They're responding to reports of a shooting at Stoneman Douglas High School and reports of victims. And this just breaking the images now of kids now being escorted out of the school. I do see fire and rescue, and they are taking out fire and rescue equipment, which would be an indicator that some people, at least at the very least, have been injured. Police have in one video that we're seeing, it looks like they got SWAT already on the scene, and they are out, guns open, and there obviously a lot's going on here. We don't have any more details other than what my own eyes can tell me, but there's fire, there's rescue, looks like a SWAT team, police, sheriff are all there on the scene, and reports of victims at the high school. And our thoughts and prayers, scary situation. And you know, I wish we would have in every school, I wish we'd have former retired military and retired police. And does that mean this situation might have? I don't know anything about this situation. But generally speaking, I want people that have experience in this there on the front lines defending our children, because we've had enough school shootings. Not political in any way. I'm just saying the most important thing is let's protect the students. And I would protect them with retired military, and I would, the front line of defense, retired police officers, law enforcement people, and at least we'd have an inside shot if, God forbid, something happens. It may not even be applicable in this situation at all, but it's an argument that comes up quite often when we hear these things. But our thoughts and prayers are with the families, the students, everybody now. It looks like the evacuation is underway fully. You see a lot of students now running as they've all gotten out of school. They look pretty young. I mean, it says high school, but we'll watch this situation as it's unfolding today. Anyway, glad you're with us. Before I get to any other news, we do have some good news today. And, you know, if you've listened to this program any length of time, you know, for many years I have been pushing energy independence. And, you know, I know the fake news media never talks about anything. They've got their agenda. This is what is interesting to me. On any given day, whatever their agenda is, they actually think I should be following their agenda and talking about the things they talk about. And 9 out of 10 times, I find that they're wrong about the stuff that they report, the hysteria in which they're reporting, the facts they often get wrong, and they never get held accountable. So I try to watch as little as possible, but to do a good show, I've got 3 TVs in front of me right now so I can watch the news as it's going on throughout the program. But I'm not going to follow their agenda. I'm not. And it's interesting that when you don't, they write stories. Well, Sean Hannity didn't talk about what we talked about. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not talking about what I'm talking about either. This is the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal in the history of the country. And it's fascinating to read this stuff. On the good news side, I have, and if you've listened any length of time on this program, I have been pushing and pushing energy independence. Now, because of the president's energy policies, America today is on the verge of achieving global energy dominance. And, you know, that's going to go a long way to keeping Americans safe and prosperous for decades and decades to come. One of the dumbest things we've ever done as a country is we have allowed ourselves to become dependent. The lifeblood of our economy is energy on countries that hate our guts. And these countries have become filthy rich with our money. And meanwhile, we've got more energy resources here than they have over there. And the idea that we can, you know, now with natural gas and ANWR is open and the pipelines are being built and coal has been saved. Well, now the United States is going to overtake Saudi Arabia and Russia next year and become the world's largest oil producer. That is huge news. And with the production of more energy means a lot of high-paying career jobs in the energy sector. And so, and that is the lifeblood of our economy. Now we've got surging output from the shale fields, a boosted, let's see, output by 846,000 barrels per day in just 3 months in November. The country's on course to jump from the third largest producer to global leader. That's phenomenal news. And anyway, making the prediction in a report, the International Energy Agency said all the indicators that suggest continued fast growth in the U.S. are in now perfect alignment. And I'm like, this is the best thing that could ever happen to us and the best thing for Americans that need high-paying jobs. Remember, we had partnered back, you know, remember when oil prices went down, that was not an accident. That was a direct attack on the shale success and production in America. And that was to basically drive American companies out of business. To a certain extent, I would argue they were successful. But if we commit ourselves to energy independence, regardless of what they do in the marketplace, we're going to be a heck of a lot better off. There's one other piece of big good news I want to point out today. You've got surging approval numbers for the president. And his approval rating has now hit the highest level in months, surpassing the level of support he had when voters handed him an electoral landslide in November of 2016. Now, the day before his election victory, Real Clear Politics showed Trump trailing Clinton 44-47. The Morning Consult survey today, Trump's approval rating is now 47. And for the first time, his disapproval rating is now dipped below 50. So it's a 47-47 split. I still personally believe, can't prove it, that he polls lower than his actual level of support. There's still a group of people that don't want to argue or get in, or deal with any pollster that's asking them who they support. They don't want to deal with it. And they just say, forget it, no answer. Or they'll tell them the opposite on purpose. I know a lot of people that do that. Sorry to my pollster friends, but it's true. There is Republicans now have retaken the lead in the generic ballot. That it's way too early for me. But anyway, that same Morning Consult poll, 39% likely voters support a generic Republican, while 38% would support a Democrat. I think you've got to take the historical precedence and look at the fact that in off-year elections, after a presidential election, the party in power in the White House tends to lose seats. There have been exceptions. Post 9/11 with George W. Bush was one of them, but that is the usual occurrence. With that said, I think at the end of the day, when people start to factor in that Nancy Pelosi can be speaker and what the Democrats would be capable of doing, I got to hope that that factors in a big way. A lot of Senate seats in flux. I see Bob Corker. You know, Bob Corker now needs President Trump's support because he's thinking about getting back into the race in Tennessee and run for Senate from Tennessee again. Like, you got to be kidding me. But anyway, that's what he's thinking about. I want to go. We have some new developments today. There is a huge article. It's just breaking now. Our friend Sarah Carter has broken it. She's going to join us at the beginning of the next hour. We have got to ask some tough questions now with everything that we have going on that we've got to get to the bottom of. And I can't wait for the IG report in a couple of weeks. I want to hear what that has to say about the Clinton email server investigation. But we got to take a closer look. When are we going to have a look at those people that could have been involved in fixing Hillary Clinton's mess as it relates to the email server scandal? You don't exonerate before you investigate. You just don't do it. And I've talked to FBI person after FBI person after FBI person, law enforcement person. There's not one that's ever heard of a case of months before you interview the main people that you write an exoneration letter the way Peter Strzok and James Comey did. So we'll get some information on that. I hear it's devastating. Don't know for sure, but that'll come in the IG report. But then we got to get to the bottom of this whole dossier FISA issue and the fact that they didn't tell the FISA court judge. I think the FISA court judge needs to be brought in before Congress. Doesn't have to be an open session. And the FISA court judge has to be asked if the bulk of information presented to the FISA court dealt with the dossier that Clinton bought and paid for that was never verified, and they never told the judge that Clinton bought and paid for it. I've got to believe any FISA judge has got to feel that they were betrayed. And then that all of this then leads to the appointment of Robert Mueller as a special counsel. Anyway, so then he appoints as his lead guy a guy by the name of Andrew Weissman. We've talked about him a lot. He's the guy that was involved in the Anderson accounting case. He's the guy that got convictions. Tens of thousands of people ended up losing their jobs for nothing. A Supreme Court 9-0 overturn in that particular case. And then he's involved with four Merrill executives going to jail. Now, maybe you don't like people from Merrill or Wall Street, but that's fine. But it turns out they went to jail for almost a year for nothing as the Fifth Circuit overturned those convictions. And this then becomes the special counsel, Robert Mueller's number one pick. Well, now we're learning in Sarah's column today, in 1997, Andrew Weissman was officially reprimanded by a judge in the Eastern District of New York for withholding evidence. And this isn't the only case he was charged with withholding evidence. We'll get to that in a minute. Now, how has this guy become your number one pick for special counsel when you're investigating a presidential election and potential collusion with the Russians? And we find out Weissman was reported to the Department of Justice Inspector General and a Senate Judiciary Committee for alleged corrupt legal practices. And then we find out a former letter from a U.S. attorney, Eastern District of New York, Zachary Carter, requested a judge to remove Weissman's name, according to documents. And you have a civil rights criminal defense attorney, David Schoen. He said Weissman needs to be investigated for alleged past misconduct in court cases. And based on what we're seeing, it all seems to be true. Now, Robert Mueller, the New York Times describes Weissman as Mueller's pit bull. And he's a former Eastern District of New York U.S. attorney, rose through the ranks. Anyway, he was selected to run the Department of Justice criminal fraud selection and later handpicked by Mueller to join the special counsel office. Weissman's rise to the top was rocky from the get-go, and he described as a tough prosecutor by some. And in a case targeting the Colombo crime family in the Eastern District of New York, and it was the first of many that would draw criticism from both peers and judges. David Schoen, the guy I mentioned moments ago, was the 2015 whistleblower, and he met with Inspector General Michael Horowitz. He's the one that's writing about the Clinton email server scandal. In a couple of weeks, we expect that report and several FBI officials to actually discuss Weissman in 2015. And Schoen says he's never been a member of a political party, and he told Sarah Carter that his concerns about Weissman is not about politics, but Weissman's egregious actions in previous cases. And then you got to remember everything that Sidney Powell has said about Weissman.
License to Lie.
Lie. That's the name of the book. Thank you. I must be getting old. All right, 800-941-SHAWN. I was still watching the Broward sheriff shooter still at large at this high school in Broward County. You see all the kids now being escorted out of the school expeditiously. They have SWAT teams on the scene. They have police on the scene. You have guns drawn everywhere. His kids look scared to death, as they should be. All right, if you're just joining us, we're following a developing situation in Broward County. The Broward sheriff sent out a tweet a while ago saying that they're working in a developing incident. There's a report of an active shooter, and the shooter, according to the sheriff, is still at large as we speak at 5901 Pine Island Road in Parkland, Florida. And what we know is deputies and what looks like SWAT and all types of police are on the scene. We see all the kids now being evacuated fairly quickly and expeditiously. We don't know if there are any victims. There are reports of victims. according to the Broward sheriff. But we don't know the extent. We don't know where. Obviously, the kids, when they get to a certain point, they're running very quickly. And if we hear anything else, we will we'll get back to you on all of this. It's, you know, it's always scary when you have this. Who wants to turn on a television any day and see kids running out of schools because there's an active shooter and reports of victims inside the school? You know, now these kids, they got to go back to the school. I don't think that's going to be too easy tomorrow, the next day, or the day after. And then these parents, you know, right now, every parent knows that has a kid in that school that this is going down. And either they've raced to their car to go pick up their kids or contact their kids, or they're just hanging by a television as the other parent goes to do. Whoever's closer, I'm sure, goes to pick them up. And it's scary. See all these kids running. And, you know, it's like a regular Florida school. They're in shorts and T-shirts and backpacks, and they got their stuff with them, and it's supposed to be an average day at school, and in comes some shooter. It's a high school. We know that. The FBI also, we just have found out, is responding to the situation as well. You know, the FBI is always there. You know, all these people on the left that have accused conservatives, oh, you're going after the institution of the FBI. I'm like, really? Now the left is claiming an allegiance and alliance and fidelity to police work? No, that would be we conservatives that defend the police. Not I haven't heard anybody on conspiracy TV, MSNBC, and all of a sudden, well, maybe we should never say anything about the police. No, we're just talking about the top echelon that are abusing power. All right, our thoughts and prayers with the families, and we'll monitor that situation and story as it continues to develop. Stay with us. Sarah Carter at the top of the hour, and much more straight ahead.
You get the inside story that no one else has, and the behind-the-scenes chatter that the mainstream media doesn't even know about. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. We're following in a developing situation of a school shooting down in Broward County. The Broward County Sheriff is, all we know is what they tweeted out. It's obviously not the time for us to get any more details, but what we know is that there's reports of an active shooter. Those reports are still ongoing. It's at 5901 Pine Island Road in Parkland. A friend of mine from the area just wrote me and said he went to school there, and it's one of the nicest schools there. And anyway, what we know, all we know, is what we're seeing and what the sheriff has put out. The deputies have been responding. Looks like SWAT teams are on the scene. The kids have been... now for the last, 45 minutes or so, been evacuated and continue to be evacuated. It looks like a pretty big high school based on the number of kids we see coming out. And the name of the school is Stoneman Douglas High. And there are reports of victims. And that's all the information we have. Anything else would be speculation. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, they're saying roughly between 20 to 50 students injured. They're still trying to get a full count on that. And they do believe that the shooter who is active is a student at the school.
Oh, no. They think 30? Who's reporting 30 to 50?
Everyone is reporting. Margate Fire, Fire and Rescue are saying somewhere between 20 and 50.
The police now, this is breaking, have identified a person of interest as a student who was in class earlier and is now on the run, which means we don't know where he is. Is that what they're saying? That's how I read that.
Yeah, so there were students that were on the ground in some of the classes, and they took pictures, and police are trying to sort through those pictures now, and they're tweeting them out, and pictures, you know, they're going through them. But the kid was in class earlier this afternoon, and now he's MIA.
The police also, this breaking at this moment, notified area hospitals to expect victims. This is a parent's worst nightmare. You can't even send your kid to school without, you know, having to worry about this stuff. And I know all the predictable debates are going to come in.
Oh, it's already started in the most disgusting way.
What has come out already?
People are just on Twitter saying the most hard things. Instead of just caring about the safety of the kids, they're already politicizing it.
It's unbelievable. I don't think it's political when I say that I think every school should have retired military retired law enforcement to protect our kids. I mean, and maybe, you know, this happens, go back to Columbine or any of these other school shootings. Here's the mentality for me. And again, this is not political in any way. And I know eventually this becomes the gun debate, you know, but I honestly think that if you're in a confined area, let's say if any administrative building of any type, and if that building has retired military armed, retired policemen armed, and they're there on the scene, do you want them there in that moment or not want them there in that moment? And I've got to imagine, it doesn't matter where you are in the gun debate, but I think at a moment like this, you would want them there. Now, I don't know. We don't know the situation. It's unfolding. And maybe this is a case. Oh, the kids are being told to drop their backpacks. And they're literally now, why are they walking with their hands up? Obviously, they've been instructed to drop their backpacks and walk with their hands up, because I guess they don't know the shooter's still at large and they think he might have actually left the area. That's not political for me. I don't want to turn on the television. I would at least want a shot at being able to have somebody in the building at the time to at least get to the scene and maybe prevent the freedom of the shooter from going built, you know, classroom to classroom to classroom, one right after another. That's the only reason I would want retired military, retired police that know what they're doing. And then I think the kids would feel safer. The parents would feel safer. It is not a guarantee that there's not going to be school shootings. It's not a guarantee that some people aren't going to be injured. Reports now, we may have 30 injured kids here, and local hospitals are being told by the local sheriff's office to be on standby. But at least in that environment, for me, is there anybody, ask yourself, if you're in any type of administrative building, and God forbid, and something like this happens, do you want the retired military guys? Do you want the retired policemen in the building? My answer is yes. I'll be honest. I walk into two buildings every day, one for radio, one for TV, and we have armed guards in both buildings. And that's you can't get into a building in New York City any longer without going through, A, you have to have ID. B, if you don't have ID, you have to be put in the system, as we call it. And that means that your name is put down there, and then it's checked against your license. And if you don't have proper identification, you're not getting into that building. It's not going to happen. So anyway, it's a parent's worst nightmare. I don't know why this wasn't happening earlier. Obviously, the students would be instructed, drop your backpacks. And it's very orderly, by the way. And then they're having the kids sit down, I guess, on the grass across the street from where the school is. There's got to be a reason for it. I don't want to speculate. But the fact that they're having the kids sit down, taking the backpacks away, they must obviously feel that's a safe zone. There are a lot of police surrounding them. And maybe they figure at this point it's better to keep all the kids together. And they think it's probably away, obviously, from where the shooter would be. I don't know. But it appears it's a student. As I said, police have notified area hospitals to expect victims coming any moment. We do see fire and rescue. Let's go to the Fox News Channel. I assume Shepard Smith is on. He's our breaking news guy.
At last report from police and authorities is still missing. Craig Stevens continues.
For some of these law enforcement officers, we are Coral Ridge Drive and Holmberg Road. So one of the main entrances into this high school, into the multiple schools that are located here in Parkland. And Brad, let's pop off the tripod. We can just show them exactly what we're seeing. You're here checking on a student, I can imagine.
My daughter.
You're checking on your daughter. Were you able to make contact with, is she a high school student, a middle schooler?
She's a sophomore at Douglas.
And when did you first, did she reach out to you that there was?
She texted me and told me there's an active shooter. Please call 911.
And you obviously did that and then raced her to the school.
And 911 had heard already. And they gave me instructions what to tell her as far as keep the phone off, phone vibrator, stay low, make sure the door's locked.
Is she out of the school? Have you been able?
She just walked out. She texted me after about a 25-minute sort of gap of silence.
Now, our own crews have just spoken with the student. Let's listen.
Yeah, shocked. Response.
All right, and what's your name? Spell your first and last name for me.
Megan Hill, M-E-G-H-I-N, Hill, H-I-L-L.
And how old are you?
I'm 17.
Seen and our producer speaking to a student there. Let's listen.
Thank you very much. Your dad?
I'm her dad, yeah.
What'd you think when you got the caller, when you heard the news?
I got a text message and thought it was a joke. You know, the kids can play jokes sometimes, but then I could tell right away that it turned serious. And she sent me videos of her crying on the floor, and I saw pictures they sent me of the people that were shot in the hallway and dead. And it just felt helpless. Nothing I could do. I tried to get here as quick.
Again, we do not have confirmed reports of multiple people dead. The sheriff's office, I should say the fire department, has told the Miami Herald that there is at least one fatality. Beyond that, we have nothing except 20 to 50 people injured. Local coverage on the ground near the school. Let's listen.
Close to the public. You can see across the street, that's going to be to the west, a large gathering of students that have already cleared, family members, heavy law enforcement presence as well. And as we hear from Ralph, kind of where I'm getting a lot of my details, besides what we're learning here on the ground and from Craig in the studio, you know, talking about a situation where the possibility of this is a shooter's not yet been found. And I think that lends to the what we're seeing here of as far as the police cars continuing to be so mobile. They will pick up and move in a group of six or eight and just as fast as they can move out, you know, either a northbound or a southbound direction. And obviously we're speculating at this point, but probably checking out these various locations of where this suspect may be, Craig.
All right, Brandon Beyer, thanks so much for that. We're going to get back with you as you are able to call more from folks as they leave that building. We'll check back with you in a few minutes.
Let me step in here. Wow. Did you see the video I just sent you? A friend of mine.
It's pretty horrible.
I hope he can call in. So a friend of mine he lives in the area, and he has friends of his that have kids that go to the school. And he just sent me a horrific video from inside here where somebody is laying on the ground, literally in a puddle of blood. So we know that what they're saying is the person of interest has been identified. They believe, I guess, that it is a student. Here's what we know. Apparently, a freshman was quoted as saying in one of the news reports, the Palm Beach Post is posting, that a freshman said the fire alarm went off about 2:30 Eastern time. Doesn't that sound like gunshots? He asked the teacher. 2 minutes later, the school was being evacuated. He said they were rushed out, moved to the nearby Walmart. And the school is on the southwest Hillsborough Boulevard near the Sawgrass Expressway. I'm saying that for local people that may be listening now. Coral Springs police say it is an active shooter situation even still. And if you're in touch with your student, you ask that they remain calm and barricaded until police come into their room. This is for everyone's safety. Police tweeting out in their official account. Florida Governor Rick Scott tweeted that he has spoken to the Broward County Sheriff. He's monitoring the situation. The FBI is on the scene. We're told in another report that the shooter may have escaped in some way. There are reports as many as 30 injured now from the school shooting. Again, it's Parkland High School in Broward County, and deputies, and I can just see from my own observation the different shots that we have in terms of not the different views that we have from differing TV networks, is that students are still being evacuated, still running, but pretty calm. In some instances, they're told to drop their backpacks, and they've been sitting on a grass. I don't know the exact location of it other to say that it looks like it's across the street and down the block from the school. But they're all being told to put their hands up in the air as they're running, and they are obviously complying. This video is unbelievable. Anyway, they're working on this. Coral Springs Police, now they have tweeted out, avoid the area of Douglas High School, active police scene. Do not call 911 unless an emergency, nothing further. Let's see what else we have here. This is coming in. Anyway, the gunshots were first reported a little before 3 this afternoon. And Coral Springs advised students, teachers in the lockdown school to remain barricaded inside till the police get them. Let's see. Apparently, this began around dismissal time. They do have a SWAT situation now at this particular school, and we're told that the active shooter is still out there. It looks like an army now assembling outside this school. I mean, literally, and police have, in pretty short order, it looks like the overwhelming vast majority, having now been watching this for about an hour, and they're still evacuating, must be a very big school, of these kids are getting out and getting out safely. Well, it's got to be scaring the pants off of parents if they're just hearing this. It looks like the vast overwhelming majority are getting out. They're doing it, you know, peacefully, very orderly. Police are obviously on the scene doing their job as they always do. Amazing. So sad. It's horrible to watch this. It really is. What do you do? You're a parent. Now you're desperately trying to contact your kid. Little scary. All right, I got some other developments here that I'm picking up. Stay with us. Due to the Scooty shooting, Parkland Plana. Okay. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Anyway, all we know right now is the shooters at large. One report says police have identified now that person of interest, a student who was in class earlier and is now on the run. But I don't know what on the run means. Does that mean on the run within the school? On school property? Because the overwhelming majority of police are at the school. One fire rescue says more than 20 victims. I've been able to get this one video from a friend of mine that lives down in the area. I wouldn't even post this video. I mean, it's horrible. It literally is somebody shot down in a massive pool of blood.
We just want to also just have a little caveat. It is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so if you're in the car with your children, please understand that we're covering a very sensitive topic.
Yeah. No, well, obviously, this is, I'm telling people what's going on. I'm trying to understand. I just saw one scene. My oldest daughter went to get my husband, stuck with people, and not allowed to come back in. It's pretty much of a madhouse right now. In Parkland, it's a small community, Coral Ridge Drive. Okay, I'm just reading as the TV scrolls what they were reporting because it looked like one police officer was being consoled by somebody else. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We'll have the latest information, 800-941-SHAWN. If you're from the area and you want to call in, we're going to clear our lines now. Please leave them open for people in the area that have information, and we'll pass it on to you as it becomes available. It's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hannity.
All right, we do have more information. You said you have a cut of the police.
Yeah, we were following the police scanner, and we do have audio of the police discussing
all right, let's
the
listen.
Payment of the suspect.
Stop 1 on 48, standing your 48.
Stop 4 confirmed. He's detained.
What is detained?
We have the suspect detained.
10-4, can we get a positive confirmation on Nicholas Cruz being detained? Uniform 15134 confirmed Nicholas Cruz is in custody.
All right, so one Nicholas Cruz, apparently it sounds like from earlier reporting, again, this is all preliminary information, please be patient with us, has been detained by police. They said he had been at large. It could be as many as 30 people, up to 30 people shot at this particular point. Just horrible pictures, images of two kids being worked on outside the school by paramedics. The shooter described as wearing a black hat, maroon or burgundy colored shirt, black pants, last seen on the west side of the three-story building on campus, this prior to the police detaining who they believe. Now, other networks are reporting that the shooter is still at large. So, again, preliminarily, we're just, you know, giving you both sides to balance it, but it sounds like they may have gotten him. We'll have more after the top of the hour news.
Breaking news now.
Stop 1 on 48. Standing your 48. Stop 4 confirmed. He's detained.
Was detained?
We have the suspect detained.
10-4, can we get a positive confirmation on Nicholas Cruz being detained?
Stop 4.
Uniform 15134 confirmed Nicholas Cruz is in custody.
120.
Golf 1.
Golf 1 on 48. Advise the popping that bag is clear. If they need to land, that is clear. But go ahead.
10-4. Golf 1, 1065. Information.
Go ahead.
10-4, we're getting information now that the subject was on a YouTube chat forum last night watching information about building bombs, and there's chat logs that there are two bombs on the school premises today.
Kilo 3, do you have units coming to help us clear this out? Golf 1, that information is from the suspect.
This is a complainant that dialed 911.
This is a suspect. We verified via photo. This is the one over here. 48 of the source of the 43. 10-4. 10-4.
Sure. 10-5-5-2.
I know you have a lot of suspicions going on. Did you get the final address where he's staying at?
1735 Northwest 47th Drive.
I'm on scene with Nicholas Cruz.
10-4, confirm 11735 Northwest 47 Drive.
Yeah, that's on the bar, right?
10-4.
Sierra 120, dispatch.
Sierra 120.
All right, that is the police scanner from just moments ago. All right, we have some updates to give you in the shooting that is now apparently the suspect is, we believe, identified as Nicholas Cruz. We did see one individual handcuffed, a kid being put into the back of a police car. That was just moments ago. Now South Florida is their news service is reporting one dead, multiple injured, maybe as many as 20 or more people. And a person now taken into custody at the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School is the name of it. It's in Parkland, Florida. One person dead, multiple people injured. There were other images that we did see of police and fire and rescue literally working on kids. It didn't look like CPR, but working on kids just outside of the school. And this was going back maybe about 15 minutes ago. Officers, SWAT teams literally swarmed the school at about, well, hour and 15 minutes ago. I guess this all started when the sheriff put out that the shooter is still at large, but we believe the shooter is in custody now. Anyway, a suspect matching that description was seen being taken into custody in Parkland, not far from the school, which then verifies the one report that we had that he was out and about in the area. Anyway, a man pulled the fire alarm at the high school, created a scene of chaos. I was just sent another video. I've been sent two videos by a friend of mine that lives down in the area that I think will be calling in here in just a few minutes. But, I mean, these videos are shocking. One has a picture of an individual, can't tell if it's just, can't see the face or the head, but laying down in what is a pool of blood. And literally there's images in a video that this friend of mine just sent me of the shooter walking into the classroom that one of the students took at the exact moment this guy was shooting up that particular classroom. And it was pretty rapid fire, which is all that I could glean from that. And I literally got it 20 seconds as I'm coming on the air here, and I didn't have time to go through it the way I normally would. Linda, you're going to have to come in for me to give you this number. Okay, hang on. Okay. All right, let me just play that audio again. Okay.
Golf 1, I'm 48. Pain, are you 48? 10-4, confirmed. He's detained.
Who's detained?
We have the suspect detained.
10-4, can we get a positive confirmation on Nicholas Cruz being detained?
10-4.
Uniform 15134, confirmed.
All right, that was
Nicholas
the police
Cruz
video.
In custody.
Joining us now, Dan Bongino, former Secret Service, Jonathan Gillum. Navy SEAL, and that friend of mine that's sending me these videos is going to join us in a second. You know, I watched this, and I know we've seen too many scenes. I said earlier, as I'm watching all these kids come out and dumping their backpacks and putting their hands up the way they are, I'm watching all this, and I'm saying, I don't think it's political when I say that I would like at least an opportunity to have retired military, retired police on the scene that might be able to help in some capacity. I don't think that's a political statement in any way, Dan Bongino. I don't want to see kids totally helpless the way we saw and are watching even still from this particular school in Parkland.
No, you know, Sean, you're right. Sadly, the only thing that's going to stop these deranged people in an incident like this is a good guy with the appropriate training and a firearm to stop it. I mean, we even saw in the aftermath of Columbine when the hot wash was done, the information review about what happened, they found out that the actions of the two shooters were altered significantly when one of the local police officers showed up at the scene. There's really no other way. I wish there were an easy answer to this, but really Columbine changed everything, Sean. These guys are committed to body counts, these deranged killers and destruction. And the only way to stop it is with the appropriate training and the appropriate security. So,
you know, look, I know it's an expense and I know a lot of school districts and they're on a shoestring budget, but I think safety and security of kids has to be paramount in our minds. Now, some people might say, well, you don't know exactly what happened in this situation. You're absolutely right. We don't know everything yet. But the idea that we could have at least a fighting chance if somebody's on the ground, and the question I would ask anybody, Jonathan, so we don't have to see scenes like this or we can minimize some of the damage that's caused by some of these people, at least if you have people that are trained in this type of situation there on the scene, If ask any person, if you're in an administrative building and a shooter comes in, do you want armed police, retired military there or not? And I think the answer would be, 99% yes. That's something we should all agree on instead of politicizing this like we always do.
Absolutely, Sean. And, we can already look at this and decipher a few things. One, from one of the reports I saw from a student, this kid is a former troubled student.
Here, we definitely have confirmation now that the shooter is in custody. So what we've been reporting was right. The shooter is, in fact, in custody. I would assume it's what we heard on the police scanner that it's Nicholas Cruz. Sorry, Jonathan.
Right. So, and from the description that this one student gave of him, he's a troubled kid who had guns, and people knew that he had guns. So that's one thing. The other thing is, Sean, we know because the student, because this guy, this shooter, was in the classroom, was able to get into the classroom and shoot. I can guarantee you that this school has not done a proper threat assessment to understand fully where people are going to come in and how they're going to access and how quickly these shooters can get into a classroom, because the sheer fact is the shooter got into a classroom. So that just shows you how inadequate these schools are in preparing for this. And I I'm listening to the news reports and they say it's chaos. Sean, and I tell you, Dan is a perfect person to talk about this because the Secret Service does exactly what I describe in the book that you wrote the foreword for, where we talk about the what-if game. People should be doing threat assessments on their schools and having a plan on how to act, not just react, and you can eliminate the majority of this chaos. And having a good guy with a gun, whether it's retired law enforcement, retired military personnel who've been in a combat type of role, who've been trained with weapons, if they want to volunteer, there's usually in schools, there's maybe, 3 to 5 ways to get into that school. And it would not be difficult to stop this thing very quickly.
Dan Bongino, I don't even know if the videos that were sent to me are videos I could show on TV. It's literally in one of these videos, the shooter walks right into the classroom. And you see the kids hiding under their desk and getting down as low as they can. And literally, rapid fire. You are sitting duck in a situation like this. It's so sad. And you're a parent and you're watching these kids come out of school. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how we stop evil in people, and there's evil. But I want our schools safer. How do we make them safer, which should be everybody's priority?
Well, Sean, I get it. I mean, we don't have all the facts. I understand. I hear the hesitancy in your voice, as everybody is in a situation so tragic. It's tough to put it into words, but the hard reality is we really do know the answers. I didn't say the solutions. There is no solution to the violence in men's hearts, okay? It's plagued us throughout human history. But we do have the answers. There's a reason that the president of the United States, when I was in the Secret Service, and I'm not suggesting everybody has these kind of assets, but there's a reason he's not under attack every single day. That's because there's basic security parameters we follow. Now, again, I'm not suggesting schools should have to follow a Secret Service style security plan. But the basics.
But
of
we
it,
could
like
do
Jonathan
we could do a lot more than we're doing. We've had enough school shootings. Hang right there, Dan Bongino. Stay with us, Jonathan. Stay with us. A friend of mine that lives down in the Parkland area, Derek Porter, is with us. He's the one that has been sending me these videos that I'm only describing to you. I don't even know if I'd be able to play them. Derek, you know and have friends that have kids in that high school. As I understand it, I just looked up. There's 2,972 kids in that school. This is a big school.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the this is our district high school for the Coral Springs Parkland area, and actually a very sought out for one. I mean, you know, Stoneman Douglas is usually a school that a lot of people will move from certain areas to make sure they're in that district to even get to that type of school.
Yeah. So obviously, I assume that you have friends and they had their kids in there. Do you know if those kids got out and any information that you're hearing locally about how many are injured? We now have confirmed one person is dead and as many as 20 or 30 kids injured in this incident.
Yeah, I mean, I've known countless, pretty much all my childhood friends and everybody I know has graduated from Douglas, and we have lots of friends. I even have my wife's family, extended family, has kids in there currently. We know they're safe, and that's about all we know. Last we had heard, they weren't letting anybody leave, but we were able to get cell phone videos of, you know, some gruesome things, and more importantly, that knowing that a lot of the people we're checking on are safe.
That last video that you sent me, I mean, it was a video of the shooter walking directly into the classroom where this young kid was videotaping it, right in that classroom.
Yeah, that's correct. And I actually have a so part of it. There's a little bit more of it that I need to try and get to you, but for cell phone purposes, it won't allow me to. But like I told you, there, I'm not exactly sure who exactly sent me that message, but I know it's coming from inside the school.
Yeah, it's obvious. And the first image video that you sent me was it looked like either a bigger kid or an adult laying in a pool of blood, and it's scary. But the report on the ground, you're hearing what we're hearing, is that the suspect is now in custody.
Yes. Yes, that's what we've been told from one source, and most of the other sources don't have any idea, as they're in some sort of lockdown and not being able to really do anything but sit tight.
Well, please let everybody in Parkland know that our thoughts, our prayers are with everybody there, and just praying that all these kids get out safe, and those that are injured, they're minimal, if at all. And it's got to be scary for all your wife's family and for all your friends' families down there. I know it's a close-knit community down in Parkland, and everybody's praying for everybody down there, so you know. And we appreciate it, Derek. Thank you for taking time.
Yeah, thank you.
800-941-SEAN, Dan Bongino with Jonathan Gillum. More on the shooting. One dead, multiple injured. A shooting at a high school known as Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. And we'll have more details as they become available here on the Sean Hannity Show. All right, if you're just joining us, there has been a school shooting. The suspect now in custody down in Parkland, Florida. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. And we now have been told there are numerous fatalities, not just the one that we've confirmed, and at least 14 victims, according to the Broward Sheriff. We've heard that number may go higher from other sources. This isn't about racing to give you the number. We're just giving you information as it becomes available to us. Before we get back to Dan Bongino and Jonathan Gillum, Trey is in Texas. Apparently, Trey, you have a Guardian program to stop school shootings. What is that?
I'll be as brief as I can, Sean. What it is, it's a program that either the administration or the faculty participates in. They send select members of the staff. They go through extensive specialized training, and they are actually armed during the school day. They are not known amongst the kids. None of the kids know who these people are. And it's just a program that was enacted. My kids go to school in a very rural area of West Texas. And I was telling your call screener before that the law enforcement response time for a scenario like this would be 20 to 30 minutes before people could be on scene. So I hear you talking to Jonathan, and I hear you talking about retired military or retired police, which would be an added expense for the school. This, what I'm referring to, I believe, obviously the school pays for the training to be done with the members that participate, but once that's done, there's no added cost.
Well, we really appreciate, you know, there are options, and we're going to get to that in the days ahead, I'm sure. But I unfortunately, we talk about these things, and then we never implement solutions. I mean, this should be nationwide that we're implementing these things. If you're just joining us, we have had another school shooting. This one, Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. We're now told that there are multiple fatalities, at least 14 victims in the school shooting, according to the Broward sheriff. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Local reporting has that number a little bit higher, as many as 20 to 30 people. When we get confirmation of the final number, whatever that happens to be, we'll let you know. The suspect is now in custody. We believe it's one Nicholas Cruz, as we have the police scanner we've been able to pick up. We're going to come back. We'll have more with Dan Bongino, Jonathan Gillum, our reporters on the ground. And we're cleaning our phone lines. If you're online right now and you're not from the area of Parkland, please don't call our toll-free number. This is only for people in Parkland, in the area, that have information, know about the school district and know the area. And you can call our toll-free telephone number, 800-941-SHAWN, 800-941-SHAWN. Only for people that are in the area impacted by the shooting. We'll have the latest details as we continue. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. Wish we had better news today. If you're just joining us, another school shooting and really, really, you know, horrific event unfolding before our eyes the last couple of hours. And it's at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School down in Broward County in Florida. And we do have an update. Now we're told there are multiple fatalities. In the last half hour, we had heard there was only one. Now there's multiple. We have at least 14 victims. We had heard from other sources reporting that there might be as many as 20 to 30 victims, and they're now being transported. Hospitals had been put on alert at Broward Health Medical Center and Broward North, Health North Hospital. And, you know, one of the most unbelievable things about these hospitals, they all prepare for these traumatic events. And as soon as news breaks, you see nurses and doctors. They're unbelievable. They just show up at the hospital. It's all hands on deck. And they do an amazing job helping people, especially I remember in Vegas, I got to tour the hospital after that shooting. And I met the people the day after. And it's incredible that they had only recently they had prepped for, you know, a worst case scenario like the shooting that took place out there. And so these people that working in the hospitals are amazing. The police have been unbelievable today. I mean, we watched this whole thing unfold and you've got the sheriff and you've got SWAT teams and everybody there on the scene, you know, in a very orderly fashion. I mean, there's nearly 3,000 students, 2,972 students at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High. This is in Parkland, Florida, and they got these kids out of there as quickly as they could in complete order, no panic at all. And now we hear that the Nicholas Cruz is the person of interest, the suspect. They believe now he is in custody. We did see what looked like that individual handcuffed and being put in the back of a police car, not shot, alive. I have a couple of videos that have been sent to me. A friend of mine that we had on in the last half hour lives in the area. It is, I couldn't even show this on TV tonight. Just can't. I mean, if I played the audio alone, when the shooter literally goes into one classroom and you hear how loud these shots are, and one of the kids happened to be Snapchatting and the whole video went out, and a friend of mine sent me a copy of it. It's, if you're a parent, it is your worst nightmare. If you're a student, it is your worst nightmare. Anyway, joining us, let's see, is a former teacher from the school in Lakeland, Florida. Tim, how are you? Welcome to the show. How long were you a teacher down there?
Not at that school, but in that particular district. I'm out of the district now. And, you know, attention to all parents. Now, you have already mentioned that hospitals, SWAT, all the police departments in the area have trained for this. Unfortunately, the schools do not train for this. I've worked in several districts in different states, including what we're talking about today. Schools are not prepared. What we do as teachers, we're supposed to lock the door and put our kids in the corner, farthest away from the door, and lay in wait. We have zero communications with the admin element or the school resource officer because all communications are shut down, with the exception of what kids are doing on social media by getting the word out. So unfortunately, what parents should know is that there are no steps in place at this point, at the school level, at the site level, that's going to address school shooting. Unfortunately, and what I hate to say it, but at some point, teachers are going to have to go through training. Select teachers are going to have to go through training to be armed. I'm a veteran, and even though that I'm not allowed to be armed in the classroom, I can't say that I haven't carried in a school.
All right. Thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. And such a hard situation, trying to literally pull information from 15 different sources here in front of me. Marty is in Tennessee. Your daughter was in an active shooter situation in Tennessee. How long ago was that?
My daughter, it was involved, my daughter in 2010.
Really,
and
scary.
Yeah.
Really,
well,
scary.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Very scary.
What did the school district make any changes afterwards?
Well, actually, what helped was the school made a change. It happened to be the summer before it happened. And what they did was they had active drills with the local sheriff's department to where they would try to herd, for lack of a better word, a person into a place where they could contain the situation and take him out. And it just happened to be that the test they did was at this school. And it actually worked. I mean, it's one of these things where they, when he got into the school, and this is kind of pertains to the situation that happened today in Florida, he was trying to get to the fire alarm because he knew that if he pulled the fire alarm, the kids would come out of the class and he would have a lot of targets. The school was like the schools now. Had instructed all the kids to lock the doors, the teachers, and the kids stay in the class in lockdown until it was contained. But like your prior caller, at best you're probably going to have one school resource officer there. So I think, the situations that we're having in the schools today, it almost demands that, you have some citizen soldiers, basically teachers, maybe with concealed carry permits, that could act to protect, because in this situation with my daughter, the resource officer was trying to get them into an area where there was no walls up against classrooms or things like that, and try to keep them at bay until they get back up. And they had three other sheriff's deputies that made it there within about 7 or 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to do that.
Listen, if you just have one or two, depending on the size of the school, obviously, but the more, the better. I just think it's, and again, I'm not politicizing this. I want to be very, very clear here. I mean, we should have one goal in all of this, and that's that if, God forbid, this happens ever again, that there is some line of defense. And I just ask everybody to ask themselves a very simple question. If you're in any administrative building, and God forbid there's an active shooter, would you rather have trained, retired military, trained law enforcement there or not? And we don't know specifically if it would have helped in this situation. It certainly can't hurt to have somebody on the front lines. And if they find out exactly where that person is, you might be able to at least cordon them off and keep them at bay and give time for the students, A, to get out of the rest of the school, rather than these, shooters going literally from classroom to classroom. And I think if most people saw the video that was sent to me from this particular shooting today, you'd feel the same way that I did, because with impunity, they just walk in a classroom and these kids are just, hiding under their desks. That's the only defense that they have. And then if they get done with that classroom, then the shooter goes to the next classroom. It's so scary, so frightening. All right, Marty, thank you. Dan Bongino with us, former Secret Service, former Navy SEAL, Jonathan Gillum. I know you guys are listening to all of this. You were talking about protocols. Obviously, schools aren't going to take the protocol of safety that we do for our president, but this certainly should be some institutionalized defense in some capacity to help out in these situations when they occur. Dan Bongino.
Yeah, Sean. I mean, there are some basic security rules, whether applied at a relatively small security footprint level in a school or at the highest levels in the world with the President of the United States, that work. I mean, one of the basic things we know is that time is always going to be the attacker's best friend because he needs time. They need time to do what they want to do, unfortunately, which is to attack people with a firearm or whoever they decide to do it. How do we disrupt that? How do we reduce the response time? Well, we reduce it by having trained, armed individuals with a firearm there on the scene. I mean, this is not complicated, Sean. There's a reason the Secret Service stays within an arm's length distance to the President of the United States. It's not because it's some kind of fancy, complicated security plan. It's because it reduces the time to respond. I mean, one other quick thing I can tell you over the phone now that works. I mean, little things like making big things small. We talked about that in the Secret Service all the time. You make big things small, and when you make big things small, what you do is you force these attackers into a scenario where they're locked down. And here, let me just give you a quick example. What I mean by that is if you have security gates in a school and a protocol, when a shooting goes on, when you know where the incident's happening, you close the security gates and you know where the police officers can respond and you prevent that shooter from moving around. Again, these are just really simple security rules. And I think it's time, sadly, that a lot of schools in America start looking into security plans like that.
I actually think it ought to be institutionalized, Jonathan Gillum.
Yeah, and I'll go right along with what Dan is saying there, as well as locking down and making the area smaller to trap the shooter. You also have to have the teachers and the administration and even the students prepared mentally to get out of there, because if they can lock a person down that might be shooting, it doesn't necessarily, this whole thing that we've created where you lock yourself in a room, you get to the back and you get really low, may or may not save you. Guns penetrate wood, and if they can get into these rooms, they'll continue to kill in a massive way. So we need to start thinking more along the lines of escape and evade. And if need be, fight is another thing that we need to, that teachers and administrators in these schools need to realize, that you can forward think this and prepare your mind for this situation. You may not be the biggest person in the world, but if you prepare your mind for the potential of a fight, you're going to be much more likely to win, or at least act in the appropriate manner to get one up on this shooter. So basically, we have to start preparing people's minds for these types of encounters, so it's not such a surprise. And that doesn't mean making people paranoid. It doesn't mean that we want to make people freaked out every time they go to school or to a hospital. But this is the world we live in.
But I mean, let's be honest about this, Jonathan. I mean, people see police officers every day. We see military guys everywhere we go. I mean, kids go to school and they see police officers every day, and they probably get to know their names and develop relationships with them and learn to love these guys.
And it's so simple. We just need to stop with the politics and start looking at what's effective. And Sean, I don't want to just spend the time trying to sell this book, but you wrote the foreword for it, Sheep No More, and it's The Art of Awareness and Attack Survival. I made it so simple, and I wrote that book so people could look at their lives from an attacker's point of view. Even if they never buy this book, if schools and across this country, people start looking for effective solutions instead of tiptoeing around things like offering a tax incentive for retired law enforcement and military personnel to come in and stand in these doorways. They would do this for free. And I don't know why we don't think these things through, because, Sean, it's so much easier to ask somebody who's been trained to come and do this than it is to take a teacher and train them to be tactically efficient.
Listen, all three of us, because we all are friends and we talk about it all the time, you know, all three of us train in some capacity in martial arts. Mine's mixed martial arts. It's an eclectic blend of numerous arts, boxing and kempo and krav and jiu-jitsu. And by the way, both of you are far more experienced than me. I'm only 6 years into this, but I mean, I train hard 4 or 5 days a week, and I think it's hard to expect that a teacher is going to have the mindset or be able to put themselves in the mindset to be able to defend against something like this. Although if there is a teacher that you know, we trust people to be, you know, marshals on airlines. And we can, if any teacher was interested, I think it would be something worthwhile to have a first line of defense. I don't think drilling is necessarily a bad thing either. When I was in school, Dan Bongino, we always had the fire drills. And, you know, I just think allowing the police and others to drill in the different districts at different times wouldn't be a bad thing either.
No, and Sean, I understand that they're uncomfortable conversations for people. That's completely understandable in light of a really, a horrible tragedy like this. But these are real questions we have to ask ourselves. I mean, clearly, I don't want to overestimate the threat. Thankfully, school shootings are exceedingly rare, but they do happen, as we've seen today. And drilling with students and getting into students' heads that there's no reason to panic, there's no reason to live your lives in fear, but God forbid something was to happen, here's what we're going to do. Here's the path out. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what the alarm's going to sound like. I mean, this is the stuff that, you know, frankly, we should really consider. I mean, the question you have to ask yourself is, you know, do you want to survive an encounter like this? Or do you want to become a victim? And training prepares you when that red zone incident happens and everything goes, your blood pressure's up. It prepares you to act because you've already thought this through. So it's a perfectly reasonable solution.
All right, at least two now killed in the school shooting. Other reports are numerous fatalities. The sheriff is saying at least 14 people now injured in this school shooting taking place. If you're just joining us, Parkland County, Broward County, Florida, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. I do have the full report from the superintendent of schools down there saying there are fatalities involved. We can't confirm the number at this point, and there are numerous fatalities. It's a horrific situation, just a horrible day for us. And the superintendent said the suspect is a former student. All right, we had been told that the student was in there earlier in the day, so that's the first time we got that bit of information. Initial reports, at least 20 other people injured in this, but now two confirmed fatalities here. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll have more of our coverage. This shooting down in Broward County, Florida, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Two fatalities, as many as 20 kids injured at this point. We'll have more information. More of our coverage continues straight ahead. All right, we've been watching an unfolding situation at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. That's Broward County. We now are confirming police sources, law enforcement sources, at least two people killed now in this shooting. The local sheriff is reporting at least 14 injured. They do have the suspect in custody. We were told it was a student, but now we now have a statement from the superintendent of the school saying there are fatalities. We now know that number at this point is two. We can't confirm the number, he said. This is going back about 30 minutes ago. And there are numerous fatalities, a horrific situation, a horrible day for us. The superintendent said the suspect is a former student. Now, we had a police scanner report from earlier today where it actually said and gave the name of the student, Nicholas Cruz. And we did see a scene, and actually they're replaying it on one of the channels right now, of Cruz being put in handcuffed and being put in the back of the police car. We're going to take a break here at the top of the hour. After your local newscast, we'll come back. We'll have the latest details on this, the other news of the day. And 800-941-SEAN, please only use that number if you're from Parkland, Florida. Straight ahead. All right, as we were coming on the air a little over 2 hours ago, an active shooting situation was evolving down in Broward County, Florida, in Lakeland, Florida. Parkland, Florida. The Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. And in the course of this period of the last 2 hours, we now have determined that we now know and have confirmed at least two fatalities. At least 14 other people have been injured. Just moments ago, the sheriff, Scott Israel, answered some reporters' questions. Let's go to that, and then we'll have more of our coverage.
Right now, it's a fluid scene right now. We have multiple SWAT teams clearing all the buildings. If anybody knows anything about Stoneman Douglas High School, it's one of the biggest schools in Broward County. It's huge. It's a huge campus. So we have multiple SWAT teams clearing every building to make sure that there are no other shooters. We have a shooter in custody. He was taken into custody, I believe, about an hour after he left Stoneman Douglas, after he committed this horrific, homicidal, detestable act. The FBI and our crime scene people will be assessing this horrific scene as soon as the buildings are cleared. Right now, the buildings are not safe to be cleared. We're asking that you put out on the news ASAP that any parent who's looking for their child to please go immediately to the Marriott within the Heron Bay complex. Our deputies and other police officers are transporting these young students over to Heron Bay to be reunited with their parents. So that's where we want parents to go. I want to thank Mayor Beam, Commissioner Sharif, and Mr. Runcie for being here to support the Broward Sheriff's Office and to be with me at this terrible time. Last thing I want to say is this is a terrible day for Parkland, Broward County, the state of Florida, and the United States. My very own triplets went to that school and graduated from Stoneman Douglas. They played football and lacrosse at that school. So it's just catastrophic. There really are no words, and we will keep you updated. I have spoken to Governor Scott. He's out of state. He is on his way over here. I have spoken to President Trump, and he's offered the full power of the United States of America to help us get through this. Any questions? I can't hear you. He was found off campus. I don't exactly know where. I believe he was found in the city of Coral Springs by a Coconut Creek police officer. That's unconfirmed right now. There's so much information.
Can you give us an age range of those?
I can't. From what I understand, there was a time where he did attend the school. I don't know why he left. I don't know when he left.
But he was not a current student.
That is correct. He was not a current student.
He was arrested. Was there any competition between him and police? Did he open fire?
I wasn't there, but I was told that there was no confrontation. He was, can you hear me? Yeah. He was taken into arrest without incident.
Do you have anyone else in custody? I understand.
No.
Just
one.
Okay, do you have an age on him?
I believe he's approximately 18 years old.
Okay, and then at least one dead?
Multiple,
so more than one. And you said the school's not safe right now. There's still children inside. And what if you're...
Well, I don't know. We believe at this point that all children that we know about are cleared and are outside the building. However, we don't know if there are injured people. We don't know if there are people hiding. We don't know. So we will not begin to release information or begin to open up the crime scene until the SWAT components say the school is safe and clear. When I hear all clear, we'll begin the next phase of this investigation.
Are any teachers dead or only students?
I have no idea.
Heard of Mr. Beagle?
No.
Injuries, approximately how many?
Well, I don't know how many injuries there were, but we know 14 people were transported to area hospitals with varying degrees of wounds. What we'll do is we'll wait for the school to be cleared. We'll go on to the next phase. I know this is critically important to release information to Broward County, and we will keep you up to date. But for right now, there's no more information to impart.
Can you talk about where the shooter was? Because he inside the school. We've heard, and I know there's a lot of rumors.
Hey, don't
pull on me. At one point, there are firecrackers, and it was a drive-by with a shooter inside the school in Pine.
He was outside and inside at varying times. He certainly was inside. Thank you.
In terms of those dead.
All right, that is the Broward County Sheriff, Scott Israel, giving us a few new details in all of this, confirming what we've been reporting, that, in fact, it was a former student that was both inside and outside the school. I know from personal videos that have been sent to me by a friend that lives there that's on the ground that, in fact, the shooting took place inside of the school. It's one of the largest schools in Broward County, almost 3,000 students, 2,972 students. We also heard in their information that parents are asked to go to the local Marriott Hotel if they want to reunite with their kids. They did capture the suspect, who's been identified as Nicholas Cruz, a former student, and got him off campus. In other words, that he had already left the scene, and they picked him up from there, who they believe is the person. What was unbelievable that I found during the break is there was a drill earlier in the day that of local law enforcement, and literally apparently the same law enforcement went back because they had that drill earlier today. But it's a tragic school shooting, another one. And the other thing that we're hearing, we have the Broward County superintendent, his name is Robert Runcie, has confirmed numerous fatalities. We know of at least two, 14 injured, as you just heard the sheriff say. And this all started about about 2.5 hours ago at about 2:45 Eastern time. And Runcie said that the shooter is a former student and the individual is now in custody. But they're still going step by step. There are apparently numerous buildings on this campus of this particular high school. And the name of the school is Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. And a lot of kids down there in that one particular school. Joining us now is Joseph Pangaro, who is with Pangaro Training and Management. He's a former police lieutenant, lead training instructor, crisis negotiator, providing safety and security training for schools and for law enforcement. And former NYPD Commissioner Bernie Kerik is with us. Bernie, I know you've been through an awful lot in your career, and 9/11 on top of all of it. And you're watching this whole thing unfold as a parent, and you're thinking, okay, two fatalities, at least 14 injured. You know, while we watch the streams of kids coming out there, you got to be scared to death. Every parent is heartbroken.
Well, every parent is heartbroken, and every parent is scared to death until they get their hands on their kid. You know, the one thing that he talked about is clearing those buildings. They have to make sure that the buildings are clear from the kids that go to the school. Some kids may be hiding in certain spots. They may not have come out yet. They also have to clear their buildings to make sure there isn't any other shooters. They may have that information already, but the bottom line is those buildings have to be cleared, and they have to be cleared fast so they can get the kids back to their parents, shut down that part of the crime scene for now, and then move on to the next part phase of the investigation.
I think this is very important. I mean, sometimes you don't know, is there somebody that's assisting, somebody you didn't know about, you think it's a lone shooter, and it could turn out to be far worse. So this is just standard operating procedure, what you're hearing the sheriff say down there.
Yeah, and this will go on for the until those buildings are cleared. The sheriff did say that this is one of the largest high school campuses in the county. It's actually one of the largest high school campuses in the entire state of Florida. So it's a big facility. They've got a lot of work to do. Luckily, they had those teams on hand that was at the training seminar that morning. You know, they got a lot of work ahead of them.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Joe, you actually offer training for schools and for situations like this. You know, I don't even think it should be political. And I know there's already congressmen on the floor of the House saying gun control. But and I don't know if it'd be applicable in this particular situation as the details are still unfolding. But, you know, to me, that the idea of retired police, retired military on every school campus, you know, only makes sense. I think anybody that is in any administrative building and God forbid something happens and there's an active shooter, I would like to know that at least there's somebody there that has some training that might be able to help and increase the odds of everybody surviving.
Well, Sean, you're absolutely right. And first, I want to send my prayers down to all the people down there, the families. It's got to be absolutely horrific to have your child in that school. I have a kid in high school, two of them, and it is a parent's nightmare. You know, your point about having people on scene that could protect you, this does get into a, you know, gun, anti-gun thing. The reality is, and when I teach to parents, groups, schools, and businesses everywhere, and I want to make it crystal clear, the reality is, no matter how you feel about guns, the only thing that really stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun who can apply force to stop them. You know, that's why we train our police officers to respond so quickly, to get into that building, find the shooter, and stop the
but
shooter.
We're not even talking about individuals carrying here. You're talking about retired military trained, retired police trained. You're talking about, I mean, should this be something that every school district should consider? Because a lot of these, and again, I'm not getting into a gun debate. I don't even want to touch that debate. You know, there's people that may even still be in jeopardy here. There's plenty of time for that after. But if the number one priority is the safety of our kids,
I don't disagree with you, Sean. I think having people there, retired military men and women, would be a great asset. Retired police officers. I'm a retired police officer. I'm in the schools. I think that's a great idea because we're counting on teachers who are busy trying to teach, administrators trying to run their buildings, and they have to be worried about somebody coming in and shooting the place up.
It's an unfair
burden.
It really is not their burden, but, you know, maybe a situation arises where they can at least hold off a shooter or shooters in the interim just to give the local police time to get there. Bernie, you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree. And look,
there are some communities around the country that's already doing this. I think superintendents of school districts, community leaders, I think given the threats that we face in this country today, the terroristic threats, the threats like this, given those threats, I think it's a no-brainer that they should be considering this. And when you have retired cops, retired military, they're actively trained, they could be the difference between a number of a major mass shooting and or not, because it's still going to take a SWAT team, the initial police officer, the initial precinct officer, is still going to take 4 to 6 to 8 minutes to get there.
I think they were there in less than 5 minutes today. I think they were there in less than five.
And as the commissioner knows, these things are over very quickly. So the faster you have somebody on scene that can help, the better.
Yeah, you know, Bernie, I'll send you some videos. A friend of mine said, you know, their kids were, their best friend's kids were in the school taking videos. The kid, this guy walks right into a classroom, and there's no defense. Yeah. There's nothing there to defend these kids. And, you know, let's put aside the gun debate for a minute. We're not talking about guns. We're talking about, well, we have policemen that work in every city and every town and every municipality to keep us safe. And why not put at least retired police, at least retired military guys? I bet a lot of them would love to do it. I bet the kids would love to get to know these people, and they'd probably become their best friends over time.
With the proper training, it would be a good asset to the schools. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you both for taking time. We appreciate it. Joseph Pangaro is with us, and former NYPD Commissioner Bernie Kerik, 800-941. Sean, listen, don't call the toll-free number. We're just taking calls now from people in the area. If you are in and around the Parkland area, you want to give us a call, give us your take, what's happening on the ground. If your kids go to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, 800-941-SEAN for the rest. You know, we please ask you leave those lines open for the people that might be needing some information or getting some details about what happened today. Our thoughts and prayers are with these parents, these students, these teachers, these even the school board members, everybody involved in this. Another tragic school shooting. We'll have more details on the other side. All right, as we roll along, sad tragedy out of Florida, Broward County today. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. All throughout the day, we've been watching an evolving situation. Multiple deaths now reported, at least two confirmed by the sheriff in Broward County, Scott Israel, as a shooting broke out at this Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. It's Parkland, Florida. And the suspected shooter, we believe, is a former student named Nicholas Cruz. We did watch him being taken in custody earlier today. And Coral Springs Mayor, city contracts with the fire service in Parkland, confirms these fatalities. 14 other victims that we know at this time. The student taken into custody off campus without incident. The suspect was both inside and outside the school buildings. Now, the man in custody wearing a red shirt, black pants, black boots, we believe was a former student, a fairly young age. FBI's on the scene. They had local law enforcement, sheriffs on the scene, police on the scene, SWAT team on the scene, and first responders all over this. It's a school that has nearly 3,000 students, 2,972 students, a lot of kids down there. And as this was unfolding, we watched them evacuate in a pretty, very orderly fashion. Now parents are being told that, I guess they're reuniting with their children at the local Marriott Hotel down there. And I'm sure that local police are going to direct everybody in that area. Anyway, so it's still in a code red lockdown as the police and sheriff now go and FBI literally go building through building to make sure that every student has been rescued and everything that everyone has been accounted for that we know. And so anyway, the president has weighed in. The president has talked to the governor. The president's talked to the sheriff. The president has talked to other officials down there. The president tweeted out, "My prayers, my condolences to the families of the victims of this terrible Florida shooting. No child, teacher, or anyone else should ever feel unsafe in an American school." I agree with that sentiment. The deputy White House press secretary said, "We're monitoring the situation." Rick Scott announced plans to come to Broward County immediately. He's been on the phone. By the way, Rick Scott, he's an understated guy. He doesn't have one of these big political dynamic personalities. But in a sense that he's not a boastful guy with a big mouth. you know, and 99% of politicians and talk show hosts have that quality. But the guy gets stuff done. I mean, when there's trouble, this guy, you know, rolls up his sleeves and he goes to work. He's done a phenomenal job. Pam Bondi, the attorney general's been down there. She does a phenomenal job. Anyway, so he's headed down to Broward County. Pam Bondi said she was on the way to the area. Everyone's sending their thoughts and prayers. Actually, I have another. Apparently, there are 3,208 kids in the school. It's one of the biggest schools in Florida. And but anyway, another tragic school shooting. This one in Parkland, Florida. And Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. I'm going to take calls from the area next. So if you're not calling from that area, don't call 800-941-SHAWN. And we'll get to those calls when we get back.
All right, I want to go to Senator Bill Nelson from the Russell Rotunda in Washington, D.C. He has spoken with Broward County Sheriffs. He has an update. Senator, we are hearing tragic news about fatalities and injuries, which we didn't know of half an hour ago. What do you know, sir?
Unfortunately, I'm afraid that's true. That there are a number of fatalities. That information came to me when I spoke to the superintendent of schools. And so, indeed, this is a very, very tragic day.
Got one on 48. Dana, you're 48.
Got four confirmed. He's detained.
Was detained.
We have the suspect detained.
10-4, can we get a positive confirmation on Nicholas Cruz being detained?
10-4.
Uniform 15134, confirm Nicholas Cruz is in custody.
120.
Golf 1.
Golf 1 on 48. Advise the popping that bag is clear. If they need to land, that is clear. But go ahead.
10-4. Golf 1, 1065. Information?
Go ahead.
10-4, we're getting information now that the subject was on a YouTube chat forum last night watching information about building bombs, and there's chat logs that there are two bombs on the school premises today.
Kilo 3, can you have units come and help us clear this out? Call for that information is from the suspect.
Come on, complain.
This is a complainant that dialed 911.
This is a suspect we verified via photo. This is the one over here. 48 of the source of 43, 10-4. 10-4,
but we're in control. 10-5-5-2.
I know you have a lot of suspicions going on. Did you get the final address where he's staying at?
1735 Northwest 47th Drive.
Spot 07, I'm on scene with Nicholas Cruz.
10-4, confirm 11735 Northwest 47th Drive.
Yeah, that's on the bar, right?
10-4.
Sierra 120,
Sierra 120.
All right, that was the police scanner when the suspect, Nicholas Cruz, former student, went into earlier today about 2:45 Eastern time, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. We now have confirmation, two fatalities. The number seems to be holding at 14 others injured in this particular case that have been taken to local hospital. What we know is this at this hour is that Broward County Public Schools reported the shooting. It was right at dismissal time for the students. Students reporting that they heard what sounded like a fire alarm before the gunfire. The school was then placed on lockdown. I had a friend that literally got some of the videos from inside the school. I don't think I can even air these. It's so graphic. One including one individual down on the ground and a pool of blood. And another where the shooter literally went into one classroom. And somebody in that classroom was running a videotape of it. And it's so loud and it's so chilling and so tragic and scary that I don't even know if I could run the audio for you. Anyway, they're now saying about 14 other victims, two confirmed fatalities in this. Parents are being told to take their to meet with their kids, reunite with their kids down at the local Marriott Hotel. The Broward County Sheriff's Office is on the situation. They now have said in this phase of the investigation, they're just literally going from building to building. It's a very big campus, multiple buildings. 3,200 students were told go to the school between 9th and 12th grade. What we know about the gunman is his name is Nicholas Cruz. He's a former student. Police say he was wearing a hoodie, had red hair, possibly attended the school earlier, we believe, and that's basically all we know at this particular point in time. And as more information becomes available, we'll bring it to you. We're only taking calls, by the way, from local people in the area. And if you have any information to share, we really appreciate your personal story. Sam is in Coral Springs, Florida. Hey, Sam, very sorry what's happened to your community. You are in everybody's thoughts and prayers today.
Thank you, Sean. Long-time listener. In fact, when you told me the story, I had called my family up because I have a little boy. We live in the area. I told everybody to go in the house. You reported it even before it was on TV.
Wow.
And that's how fast you got to the story.
Listen, I'm just sorry. There's going to be parents tonight that won't see their kids, and now we're going to be planning funerals, and other parents that are going to literally be on their knees at a hospital praying to God that their kids, you know, survive a shooting. And, you know, and the scene we saw play out today, nobody wants to see this in American schools. And I don't want to get into these political debates that are so predictable. The only thing I want to do is, you know, if we can, I want to see, you know, some line of defense in schools for kids. That's what I want. Retired military, retired police.
I did AC work in schools for a while in Broward County.
Yeah.
And I have a concealed weapons permit. I've had it for a long time. And I was told that I was not against the law for me to carry, even with a concealed weapons permit. I was not allowed to carry in the schools, and I was not allowed to have the gun in my truck on school property. And if I was, I would be arrested. There's too many no gun zones, even just the state of Florida, federal buildings, airports, banks. Even with a concealed weapons permit, we're not allowed to carry in those areas.
I don't remember the exact location. A number of years ago, and again, I'm not turning this into a gun debate, but there was a teacher that had a license to carry and had to park his car off of school grounds. A shooting emerged. He ran out to his car, and he ended up saving lives in one particular instance. Now, I'm not saying that teachers need to be armed. I mean, are we going to – I don't think the average teacher is in school to – you know, they have a job to do. They're not they can't be a protector and a teacher at the same time. Doesn't mean they can't help. They can. And apparently the school had a drill earlier in the day. But at least if we have some line of defense to at least buy us time. I don't know if it would have been effective in this particular case. But generally speaking, if I'm in a building and there's an active shooter, if the choice is retired military, retired police on the scene that work there or none, I'll take them there. So I think, you know, again, these school shootings are going to happen. I don't think you can stop evil coming out of people's hearts. But I think we can at least put up some line of defense. And there's been enough of these shootings now that I think we've got to move there. But anyway, you're in our prayers. Listen, Sam, we're very sorry about the news today. We really are. All right, let's go to Evan is in Coral Springs, Florida. We're only taking calls from the Coral Springs and Parkland area. If you know and have any information or a story you want to share, what's going on, Evan? How are you?
Hey, Sean, how are you doing? I have two guys that work in my office that bolted out because both of their daughters are in the school, and I have another friend of ours who has girls at the school as well, and thank God they're okay. But it's scary. It's just scary. You know, my kids are going to school next year, to high school next year, another high school down here, and it's scary that this continues to happen. You know, the question is why is it continuing to happen? When I went to high school, none of these things happened, which wasn't that long ago.
I don't know if we're going to be able to answer that question. It's probably got a very multifaceted, complicated answer, you know, societal mores and values and the culture and changing. And I don't think we're going to get an answer. I do know that evil exists and we do know what's happening. And I think that, look, you're just not going to change anybody's mind on the gun issue. Everybody's made up their mind. You're not going to change one mind or one heart. But I don't think it's controversial to say this. Now that we've had enough of these instances to at least get some first line of defense in these schools, I think would be a smart thing to do. Does it mean you can stop all the damage and carnage and evil and horror? No. But you might be able to stop a lot of it. I mean, the difference between, you know, holding a shooter off for 5 to 10 minutes and not holding him off could be, you know, God knows how many lives, depending on the type of gun is used, right?
Sure, but listen, I'm a gun owner myself. The question is, how does this kid get a gun?
Well, I mean, honestly, I can tell you right now in New York City that if I wanted to buy a gun, I don't know where right now. I have no idea where I'd go. But you could get a gun just like you can get drugs. They're pervasive everywhere. And the thing is, we're trying to disarm all the good people that have guns, the people that are responsible gun owners. You know, I've had a license to carry in 5 states, New York, which I have now, California, Rhode Island, Alabama, and Georgia. I've carried a gun more than half the years of my life. And I'm a responsible gun owner. And, you know, when people call me and say, well, I wanted to get this Uzi thing, I'm like, hang on. Slow down. If you want to get a firearm, that's fine. But first, go get trained in the use of a firearm. That's my advice to anybody. And one thing you'll learn...
Nobody does that. And that's the requirement to get a concealed weapons permit down here is a joke.
Well, Listen, I've been trained in the use of a firearm. Recently, when I was down in Florida, to get a Florida firearm, you have to a carry permit. You have to go through a class. And I literally was the only person in the class. And I explained to the instructor that I had carried all these years in all these states. And he still went through the basic course. He still did what he was mandated to do. Then he took me out to the range. I have really bad hearing and ringing in my ears sometimes from when I'm shooting. And I literally hadn't fired a gun in a couple of years because I just can't. My ears are shot from 30 years on radio. And I go in there and I go down the target. Boom, 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 boom. I hit, like, I think I shot seven bullseyes. And he goes, okay, you passed. And that was the end of that. I mean, you have to be trained in the use of it. It's not a toy. This is not a game. And if you have kids in your house, you got to lock your guns up. They have, you know, go to libertysafe.com. They have fingerprint handgun safes that open in a second. It's you can't get to it any quicker. And, you know, put them strategically, locate them throughout your house. Anyway, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody. This is not a gun debate. I don't want to talk about guns. I don't think you're going to change people's mind. What I do want to do is I do want to keep kids safe. I don't want to see any more scenes where these kids are running out of the school, hundreds of them. They're told to put their hands up, their backpacks down in a pile. And, you know, their parents are scared to death. And there's going to be 2 parents tonight that are mourning the death of their children. At least 2. We may be more by the time this is all over. 14 other parents are going to be in hospital rooms and waiting rooms dying, you know, knowing that their kid is in their life is in jeopardy. And you just want to get to some, you know, answers here. Jeff is in Boca Raton in Florida. What's up, Jeff? How are you, sir? Sorry about what's going on down there.
Yes, I'm fine. I'm out of state, and I get a text from my wife that my son is in lockdown. He's down the street at another school, not too far where the shooter was caught. And it's amazing. This school is known as one of the best academic schools in the country. And you probably know from your friends that live there, people buy property there.
They love that school. Yeah, that's what I've been told. They love the school. And you never think it's going to happen to you, right? I mean, nobody does.
It's that area is like the Beverly Hills of Broward County, so it doesn't, you know, the economics and
socioeconomics means nothing. It really doesn't. You know, I'm in the heart of New York City, right in the heart of the financial district, and look what happened on 9/11.
Yeah, you always Columbine was so far from me and these other stuff, but now it's actually in my community. It gives you a sick feeling in your stomach. I'm watching TV here, seeing, you know, my neighborhoods. It's, oh my God, you know, it's always so distant, but when it's home like this, it really pounds the issue in. So,
well, this is going to be a very, very painful day for a lot of people. And those are the people we're praying for today. Patrick is in Florida. Patrick, how are you? Glad you called. Thank you. And sorry about what's going on down there.
Hi, Sean. I just want to tell you that I agree with you what you said. You can't stop all the carnage in all the schools. However, we are trying to slow it down and prevent as much as we can down here in Florida. As in my county, as in other school counties, right now, to give you background, I've been doing law enforcement, safety and security for 37 years now. I joined the military at 16 and law enforcement for 22 years, Deputy U.S. Marshal candidate in the academy. I've been to threat assessment schools with the Secret Service and now 18 years of security with the school district. And I can tell you that we train all the time down here in our counties in Florida, that we're constantly training on active shooter training, fire drills. But active shooter right now, along with local law enforcement, we go into all our schools and we are actually training them on real life situations. And every time a situation happens, no matter where in the world, we break it down just like all law enforcement does and see and looks at it and says, what can we do better? What went right? What went wrong? What can we do to improve?
But you know what was amazing?
All our
the local police and sheriff's department, they had trained at this school earlier in the day today. It's unbelievable.
They had a fire drill that day.
Well, from what I heard, they had also an emergency drill is what I was told.
Right. Well, a fire drill is an emergency drill where they evacuate. But at the same time, what I'm saying is you can't stop all the carnage, but we teach them how to survive. We teach our teachers that you can have a gun in your face or somebody could break in your classroom and you can still survive it if you listen to us and let us show you how to do that. So we teach our staff how to survive active shooter trainings. We tell them the wrong
thing. Listen, all I do all day, 4 or 5 days a week, is I train in self-defense and situational self-defense. And I got to tell you, if you saw the video that I have on my phone right now from this shooting today, I'm telling you, there's nothing you could do in this particular case. Seeing what I saw, and again, I train this way, and that's the scary part. We'll continue. All right, we should have more details by the time we get on television tonight at 9. I just want to say to the people down in Florida, those impacted by all of this, we're praying for all of you, your families, those that lost loved ones today. I know words will never, ever help you heal. And it's just, it's heartbreaking to know that this is happening and this can happen in an American school. I think we've seen enough of this. And we've got to take steps to stop it. And I think the answer is we need a front line of defense. We're never going to agree on the gun issue. Everyone's locked down in their position. That's it. But we can, you know, we protect other people with police and law enforcement and our military. I think we can all agree on that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you think that's political. Anyway, our thoughts and prayers are with you. God bless everybody down there. We'll see you tonight at 9, back here tomorrow. As always, thanks for being with us.